Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Your 1 Hour Inspirational Program. I am your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a really powerful show planned for you tonight, and I'm very excited about tonight's topic. Let me tell you, if you stop by here to listen to tonight's show, I don't think you'll regret it. I really don't. So as always, we're going to begin this evening by going right ahead now and bringing in our co-hosts from all over the place. We're going to begin with, I don't know, something's happening to our computer already tonight, but we're going to begin by bringing in, I believe we have here, Ms. Joyce. Ms. Joyce, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to always have you on the program.
Well, Dr. Walker, and I am so happy to be here tonight. Got tied up yesterday with some things, but I'm excited about tonight's program. And hello to all the other hosts or co-hosts on this show.
All right. Thank you. We certainly look forward to your commentary this evening. All right. We're going to go ahead now and bring in Go Girl. Go Girl, it's always a pleasure and honor to have you on our broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, family, friends, and our host, Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm looking forward to the discussion this evening, and I hope and pray and hope that we can enlighten each other as well as bring us closer to our blessings as we should be.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. I certainly look forward to that as well. All right, we're going to go ahead and also bring in the our world-famous Pastor Castile Rowe. Pastor Rowe, it's always a joy and honor to have you.
Dr. Walker, I just want to say to you, I look forward to your shows. It's very inspirational, very encouraging. You have a unique way of just ministering to the people on a level that everybody can understand. And if anything, if I reduce the fraction to the lowest term that you have said, if anything that means so much to me is our blessings is in giving. You know, that's hard for a lot of people to understand. Just being a servant and everything. But I look forward to the show, and thank you for, you know, allowing me to make the comments that I've made. And I just say good evening to everyone.
All right, great. We're so glad to have you, and thank you for that. We're just going to invite God into our program tonight. Father, we ask that you come in, intervene, take from it more than what we've brought. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, let me begin with Ms. Joyce. Ms. Joyce, I want to begin with you and ask, because the question is asked tonight, could my blessings be delayed because I may be doing something wrong? And we have a number of scenarios that we're going to get to tonight. Could somebody's blessings be delayed because something that they may be doing wrong, unaware?
Hi, good evening again. I kind of think that that is a possibility because, if you are not in line with what God has for you, his will for you, he may delay your blessing until he feels that you are mature and you are solid enough in your faith and your beliefs and what he has planned for you, and you're being obedient to him before he releases certain blessings to you.
Okay, all right. So, Pastor Roll, I want to bring you in here along with the same question, the line of questioning, because, well, the Bible tells us that the rain shines on the just and the unjust. God is no respecter of persons. He blesses those that don't even believe in him. So it's like we're all blessed. The people who are, whether they're atheists, agnostic, or believers, we're all blessed by the same God. So how could it be then that it's something that I'm doing wrong and my blessings are delayed for something that I want, something that I desire? Pastor Roe, how do you respond to that?
Well, you know, it's all about faith and all about priorities. I've called quite a few people, and sometimes I get them and sometimes I don't. But particularly I've called Sister Marjorie Cross because she's my assistant director of sponsorship. And if I don't get her, you know, she makes a comment, you know, but she always say, put God first. You know, so when we put God first, special things will happen to us. How do you get blessed? I'll say this in the next 10 seconds or so. It's doing what God says. For example, you're always talking about, you know, the mission of God, doing, you know, he came not to serve, but to serve others, you know, and that's what we're about, serving others. So our blessings can be delayed when we don't do what God tells us to do. If we do what God tells us to do, as it says in Malachi, he will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that it won't be room enough to receive. If you don't do it, you can't expect the windows of heaven to be opened up. Thank you for allowing me to make that comment, Dr. Walker.
Okay, so, and thank you. Go Girl, I want to bring you in here because a blessing delayed, and you all are going to hear me say this throughout tonight's programming, a blessing delayed does not mean a blessing denied. It doesn't, because your blessing may appear to be delayed, it doesn't mean that it's denied, in my opinion, of course. And so when we talk about doing what God wants us to do, there are people clearly, obviously, who are blessed, and it depends on how you define the word blessings or bless, the root word bless. So, I mean, look at the rich man that came to Jesus, and he said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, give up all that you have and follow me. And this man was already blessed financially. Go Girl, he was already blessed financially. So, I mean, he didn't want to give that up. And so he went on his merry way. So, is it something that we could be doing wrong to delay our blessings? Or could that be a conditional or traditional? Your thoughts?
I believe it could be conditional, but I go back to Pastor Clark and the young lady that spoke first. I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Ms. Joy.
I will look at the children of Israel, where a 10-day journey took them how many years? Because 40. Because they were displeased. They were bickering. They were not in a line with God. And because they were not, instead of them being able to see and know and the direction they should go, they kept going in circles. He had opened up the rivers for them. He had allowed bread to fall for them. If you are not in alignment with God, your blessing could be there and you might not even see it.
Okay, see, now that's in my mind now, you know, and it's not about me, Well, in a way, it's about each and every one of us subjectively in our relationship with God. So let me rephrase that in the sense that it is about each and every one of us, and it's about us in terms of our relationship with God, because you're saying the blessing could be there. Now, that makes sense to me. The blessing is there, but because we're so confounded and so many other things, we caught up that we don't even see the blessing. Like, is it possible, then, Gokriel, that you could be so religiously oriented, so heavenly minded, that you're no earthly good, as they say, and it's like you're missing your own blessings?
I believe that could be the case. You know, we hate to think that a person would generally just hinder their own blessings, but so sometimes we see people that they believe they should be doing the work of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit does not need us. He only he's guiding us so that our lives are of view for people who don't understand or don't believe. But I do think that a lot of times our blessings are right there and we just don't see it because we are not in line. We're all over the place. We're doing everything that we're praying, you know, without ceasing, but we have other things that are taking us away from that prayer, even though we're praying for it. And it could be right there, and we don't recognize it, I should say.
Listen, and I so wholeheartedly agree with that. That makes absolute sense to me. I mean, it just does. If we want to hear from you all out there, press 1. If you think that your blessings could be delayed because you may be doing something wrong, we want to hear from you all tonight. Because, I mean, it's just like, wow, we are blessed on this planet. But, you know, you mentioned, Gokriel, about the children of Israel, and I kind of laugh at them because it's like all they did was complain. They bickered, just like you said, complain. And if I were God, I probably would have just destroyed them all. So, I mean, I would just say, you know what, let me just get rid of all of them and start over or something. I don't know, but that bickering and complaining, and people do it to even to this day. And it's like when I see people that look like they're part of the children of Israel, you know, and that when I say children of Israel, I'm talking about how their attitudes are. That's what I look at it as, not a group of people, but the you know, part of, you know, that Israelite thing. And I don't mean a religion or denomination Israelite, but I'm talking about people who have that attitude of bickering, complaining. It's like I try to get far away from them because that would delay, to me, my blessings. So so let's go to the phone lines once again. Let's go to 770-866. Welcome to the Dr. Jess Walk Show. Who do we have this evening?
Hi, this is Audrey, and I was listening in. And, you know, I came up in a church that my perception of, and I have come to a different realization than the stuff I was hearing growing up.
Okay.
I was given a perception that it was so about keeping the law and so about, I was hearing two different things. I was hearing, oh, we have to keep the law, you know, like you had to be obedient, which I think is good. But then I was hearing on the other hand, but you know, all our righteousness is just filthy rags. So no matter how much we do, we can never be good. And so I have come to a better understanding for my personal life where I function. That word faith is the key, and belief. And so when it comes to blessings, I believe it's all already out there for me. And I believe that God wants to give it to me. And as a result of that, I get it. Now, do I do some things sometimes that cause it to take a little longer? Yeah, I believe God's sitting down saying, I could have taken you straight to that, but you want to take the scenic route. Okay, so when you wake up, I'll still be here. And that's the way I function in life. And so I do not believe that, I guess in that sense, could delay your blessing. But then there's nothing we do to really receive God's blessing. You know, God is a giver. It's a gift. And that gift is not earned. You don't earn gifts. So that's it for me.
You know, that is, Audrey, thank you for sharing that with us, because you know, I too kind of grew up thinking that almost to the point where everything that you did, it seemed that if you didn't do what some doctrinal stuff indicated, you were made to feel guilty. And sometimes I would leave church feeling absolutely guilty and heartbroken. And instead of feeling inspired and empowered to go out, and even if you say, you mention another pastor's name that's not of the denomination, that's inspirational, then you're listening to, you know, you're accused of listening to the wrong messages. And it's like, well, who wants to be beaten down all the time? Who wants to always be beaten down that anything you do is wrong? And you're, like you're saying, you know, all your righteousness is as filthy rags. So I believe, just like you're saying, Audrey, I really believe the blessings are out there. And it, just as I said, a blessing delayed does not mean a blessing denied. And I just believe that we got to put our faith. I love what you said. The faith is the key. That faith in your belief is the key. And if a woman is out there for a husband, man is out there for a wife, if they're out there for a job, it's like you just, you know, and people come up with their own ideologies and philosophies on, okay, why you didn't get this here, why that didn't work, why this didn't work. It is life. It is life. It is life. That's how it is. From the day that our foreparents, Adam and Eve, you know, messed up out there, it's life. These are the residuals of what takes place in life. But you don't give up. You don't give up. We're going to go and bring in Sir Ben. Sir Ben tonight, welcome to tonight's broadcast, Sir Ben. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Good evening, and thank you. Happy, fantastic, fervent Friday. I'm excited to be on the show. Please excuse me for our absence. My family need me. We had a death in the family, and so therefore I was attending to my duties as a brother.
You certainly have our condolences and our prayers with you and your family, and thank you for taking time out to be here with us this evening. We certainly appreciate your presence. So, Sir Ben, let me ask you, could a person's blessings be delayed because they may be feeling it's something that they're doing wrong? And this thing about guilt, that, you know, and I want to talk about guilt a little bit, because if you're made to feel guilty, if you're made to feel guilty, that can mess your mind up so badly that you think everything that you're wrong. It can even lead you to a fine line with mental health issues. So, Sir Ben, let me get your perspective. Could a person be feeling that blessings are delayed because, in your opinion, they're doing something wrong? They think they're doing something wrong when, in fact, they're not doing anything wrong necessarily. If they are, all of us are guilty, which we probably are.
Well, let me say this. I need 30 seconds. How can we walk before we stand? I'm going to ask that question again. How can we walk before we stand? Let me explain that. We hear people talk all the time about walking in faith, but how can you walk in faith before you can stand in faith? How do we stand in faith? Grace. Grace is what has been abound in our lives before we ever even knew about faith. You can't even get to faith without grace. Grace was there when faith wasn't even present, but that is the blessing that God has given us, grace. And so we stand in grace, which gets us stronger to prepare us to walk in faith. We walk by faith because grace has done its job. So when we talk about people making us feel guilty about not doing things right and whatever, you know what I say to that? Fooey of them. You know why I say fooey? Because none of us are perfect. He is perfecting us on a daily basis. And if God is giving you a life to live, a long life, that means he's been blessing you in that life, which means that he's been giving you grace, even if you wasn't walking in faith. Because even when we do crazy stuff, sins and all kinds of crazy stuff, grace still abounds as much, because we are not asking about faith when we're in our craziness and our sinful ways. We're standing in grace, and God's grace is covering us. So you don't have to listen to people trying to make you feel any kind of way. Mental health shouldn't even be a part of our conversation, because God says, I am with you always. And if he's with you, why should we be worried about what other people think? You have been given the ability to do what? In him, I move, I live and I have my very being. In him, I live, I move, and have my very being. And if Christ is in you, why is mental health a part of your existence then?
Okay, very interesting. We're going to ask you to stand by. So, you know, as I listen to that, Sir Ben, I mean, this is very deep. This is some very deep stuff. But that guilt can really, really cause some serious problems, because now you're thinking, and see, it's in psychology we learn that, you know, as a person, as you, just like the Bible talks about, as a man thinketh, so is he. And so if you're thinking that this is wrong, even with the law, and this is not legal advice or psychological advice, you all, but even the law says that there's legal impossibilities. So a person might think that they're setting out to commit a crime. There's nothing greater than love. But they're thinking that they're setting out to commit a crime when, in fact, that's not a crime what they thought that they were going to go out to commit. And so now the law tells them that that's a legal impossibility because it's not illegal, you know, depending on the crime that they thought that they were going to do. You know, say, for example, if they went to a mall and they just overlooked the sign that said these books were, you know, free to, these are complimentary gifts. And they failed to see that sign. And they were like, they passed by and it's like, those books look pretty good. I'm going to, you know, let me go and sneak one away and steal this book. Well, so they go and they hide one up under their shirt or so forth, and someone stops them, and and this is one of the people from the table, and they're saying, sir, did you get one of our books? And they lie and they're saying, no, I didn't get one, and they got a book there. And they say, well, if you didn't, you can certainly have one because the books are free. And so now he has, you know, because he lied, because he felt guilty, you know, because he knew, he thought he had sinned or he thought he had broken the law when it was legally impossible for him to break the law because those books were free. You see, so now could it be also, we're going to go to phone lines in a moment, could it be that the guilt that we're thinking because somebody told us all of this stuff and now we're out here and our blessings seem delayed, but they're out here for everybody, everybody. We're going to ask you all to stand by. Oh, this is a good one tonight. You're listening live to your one-hour inspirational programming. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, could my blessings be delayed because I may be doing something wrong? Not necessarily. And I'm telling you, a blessing delayed does not mean a blessing denied. Let's go to the phone line. Let's go to Ms. Lewis. Ms. Lewis, thank you for taking time out and joining us all the way from Texas.
Hi, good afternoon. Happy Sabbath to everybody. I have
heard the question,
and my question is, are you going to repeat it, or I just follow up after what I hear?
Certainly. Could our blessings be delayed because of something that we're doing wrong? I mean, how about the guilt? Could it be, and this is a twofold question. The first one is the topic tonight. The second one is, could guilt, in your opinion, cause a person to think that they're doing something wrong when, in fact, they're still waiting on their blessing to come and it hasn't come because of how they're thinking? And that ties in also with you all when I come back. It ties in, Audrey, I want to bring you in and talk about the laws of attraction. As a man thinketh, so is he. Go ahead.
Let me answer the last one first because it is very critical. Because God judges us not only from what we do, but what we have in our hearts. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Bible says, the Lord will not hear me. So the moment these guys or girls or all of them underneath their clothing, although they didn't even see that it was free, yet because they hid it, it is some guilt, it is some stealing in their mind. Although, literally, it's not because it's free. But the moment they start hiding it, that means it was something immoral they have in their minds. And so that is why I'm so glad that God knows us. He judges us not only from what we do or what may seem right to us or wrong to us, but our mind. What are we thinking? These guys were thinking of stealing, and so that's why they hid it. And so it becomes a sin because it was free, But they thought it wasn't free, and so they tried to steal what is free. And so it becomes a sin. Number two, can I delay my blessings if I'm disobedient? Yes. Take, for instance, the children of Israel were given 40 days to go through the wilderness. And because of their murmuring and everything, you know, seems bad for them, and they were so querulous and quarrelsome and very unholy, then instead of 40 days, it took 40 years. And so that's a problem. So when we are not being thankful and not being holy, the blessings that God has for us can be delayed because he's waiting on us to conform to him instead of to the world. Take, for instance, my time may be up. Take, for instance, a young lady or a young man may be asking for a husband. So let me pitch on the girls. She may be asking for a husband. Oh, God, give me a Christian husband. But she's not Christian in her heart. She may be just going to church and just wanting a Christian man. But if she's not a Christian woman, then they're unequally yoked, and that will cause a problem. So God may be saying, I need for you to change your heart, and so I'll give you who you're searching for, because he doesn't put people together. God does not put people together who are unequally yoked. We may find the person for ourselves, but God does not put people together who are not equally yoked.
All right, thank you, Ms.
Dr. Jesse.
We certainly do appreciate that. And I want to just say, well, that was interesting in your presentation, and I wanted to respond to a couple of things. And so one of them, just quickly here, because we're almost out of time already, you all. So then let me ask you, Ms. Lewis, just quickly here, just a quick answer. Are we under grace, in your opinion, or are we under the law? Which one is it?
We are under grace through
Jesus.
Okay,
we're under grace. So we're not under the law. Is that what I'm hearing?
We are also under the law if we transgress the law, because if you are driving at 65 in a 50-mile zone, you're under the law, because if the police catches you, you're going to go to jail. But if you're going 65 in a 65, you're not under the law, because you're not.
However, it's the discretion of that police officer whether or not he wants to have you arrested, give you a ticket, and if you don't sign, it might be, you know, his or her discretion to take you to jail. So now when they decide, you know what, I'm going to give you a chance, that's grace. That's grace.
Yes.
That means you're not going to jail. So then I want you to stand by for a second. Audrey, I want to bring you in because I want to ask if it seems almost like people are confused. We're going to have a show on this one here. Are we under the grace? Are we under grace or are we under the law? Audrey, I want to ask you the question. What was the purpose of Jesus dying on the cross, coming here in the form of man, you know, to redeem what the first man, the creation of man, Adam, had messed up? So then Jesus came in the form of man to redeem back to the Father, the Trinity, of what the first man had messed up. So what was the purpose of that if, you know, now we're subject to the law and not under grace, where we find favor? Help me with that, you all, please.
I love it. I love it. I encourage you to do a whole show on this topic, because that's where it's a whole show on this topic, this and church hurt. Because what you're calling guilt is really hurt. And I had to come to terms with that. I'm in therapy for it right now. But yes, because I say, why spend a whole sermon telling me how wretched and horrible I am when I've been baptized and given my heart to Jesus, and you tell me that Jesus died for my sins and he washed me whiter than snow? So why do I need to hear another sermon telling me how bad I am?
Well, there you go. That's what we're talking about. And now we're talking about, and we're going to have a full one. We're going to probably do a 1- and 2-part series on grace and law. And I want to go back to something, Ms. Lewis. I want to bring you in. I want to go to the rest of you all in a moment. Ms. Lewis, you see how sometimes, I mean, none of us are there. And now we got a question about the facts, because Audrey mentioned 10 days that they could have gone through the wilderness in 10 days. My research shows 10 or 11 days they could have gone through. But Miss Lewis, you said 40 days, but then it took 40 years. We know that it was, according to the Bible, 40 years. So we have Audrey saying 10, I'm saying 10 or 11 based on my research, and you're saying 40 days. So, they could have gone through in 40 days. So, Miss Lewis, why do you say 40 days? I'm not saying that I'm right or Audrey's right, and I'm not saying we're wrong. But there's a big discrepancy there.
I thought I have read 40 days, but it could be 10 days. But the thing about this is not the amount of days. It's the disobedience and the fighting and quarreling and just downright disobedient to God. And so that is why it took them so long. So whether it's one day or two or 10 or 40, it's not the amount of days. It's the kind of behavior they had, which was not in accordance to God's will. And so it took them so long.
So, but Ms. Lewis, in a way, it does matter the number of days when we are putting things out there that are not necessarily accurate, because if we're going to say it doesn't matter the number of days, what about when we get into the fourth commandment and people say it doesn't matter what day you go on, when clearly God says, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. That's what God said. So then now someone comes, remember I said, we come up with our own ideology. I'm not saying that about you, of course. I'm just talking about our show tonight. We come up with our own ideologies and philosophies and justifications to say, okay, it doesn't matter about this. What matters is this. But then it does matter, because if we go out there and we say, okay, now I want to justify it with my own ideologies that, okay, Sunday is the day of worship, Saturday is the day of worship, or Wednesday is the day of worship, doesn't that matter, Ms. Lewis? Just quickly here, please, respectfully.
It does matter, because God specifies that is the seventh day, is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, thy daughter, thy maidservant, whoever, because God blessed that day and hallowed it and sanctified. So I think it's kind of a little different, but I will agree with you. I thought I read that it was 40 days they were supposed to take, but I've never read where it takes said 10, but I will go and research it and bring back the answer for you another time.
Okay, that sounds really good. I love that. I love that. And then, I don't know, but I know that Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and then he was on the mountain, and then Lucifer, Satan, came to him and tried to tempt him. So I'm not sure if you're getting it there. All right, we're going to ask you all to stand by. We thank you. Oh, we've got a great one here tonight, and we still got a lot to go, a lot to go. We haven't even gotten into the heart of it yet. Pastor Roll, I want to go ahead and bring you in here. And go, girl, stand by, because we're coming back to you in a moment. Pastor Rowe, the question for you is, this person says, now, I have done all the right things, I've followed the rules since my early childhood. Goes on to say, I'm 27 now, and I've been praying for a husband, and I've remained celibate. Why can't I get a husband? Pastor Rowe, is her blessings delayed because of something she's doing? Come on now.
Well, blessing can be delayed because of something you're not doing. And I'll just say this to you in as fast as I can because of time constraints. You know, I'm on this program right here because when I came on this program invited by Marjorie Cross, you know, your theme was helping people, reaching out to help people, you know. And I got caught up in that, you know. So a lot of times blessing can be denied, you know, when we become self-centered and not, you know, we've got to be Christ-centered and not people-centered, you know. And I just got caught, my blessing can be denied when you don't put God first doing the right things. Now, I'm here for one reason and one reason only. I like your vision of how you're reaching out to help these children that are starving, they're hungry, they need a hand up. And you're giving them a hand up, you know. So we start following the vision that you got. I'm here because of your vision that I see, You know, you care about people, you know. And I know, you know, we minister to people that got marital concern, this concern, that concern. But ultimately, it's a children's concern, people concern. And the Sabbath day and all of this here, if my ox is in the ditch, I'm going to pull it out. If I see somebody hurting humanity, I'm going to reach up to pull them out, whether it's the Sabbath or not the Sabbath, you know. So I just want to say to everyone, you know, let us focus on your vision, Pastor, Dr. Walker. It's helping these children that need help in these different geographical locales like Haiti, Jamaica, Africa, and all of these places, Mexico, U.S., you know. That's what it's all about. Change your priorities and then blessings will come. Our blessings will not be delayed, I promise you that, because since I've been on and focusing on helping, my blessings, I get physical blessings, financial blessings. So you got to have the right focus.
Right.
And we're following one course until successful. That's what focus is about. The course that you got is reaching out and helping others, period.
All right. We certainly thank you for that. So, Goger, I want to bring you in here with the same question along the lines I asked Beth Rowe. This young lady, she says, I've been following all the Bible rules and guidelines since my early childhood. Now I'm 27, can't find a husband. Is it something I'm doing wrong? You know, is it something I'm doing wrong? I say not necessarily. What do you say, Goger?
I'm in agreement with you, not necessarily. I know of an individual right now who is going through that. However, she can't say that she's doing all that God asked her to do, but she always says, God say he will give you the desires of your heart, and he have not given me mine yet. So just like you say, we use certain things or we use certain quotes or certain ideas, and we hold to them, but we're not holding to the manifestations of God himself. All these things we expect from him, but we're not doing what we are supposed to do or what we know to do, and our expectations are then, again, not aligned to what he has for us. But I also believe God will give you what you ask for. He'll give you a husband. It might not be the right one, but I would say give. He would allow you to have what you want. That's not his giving. That is your choice, because God is a God of choice. So that's pretty much how I see it. I think in a marriage, the two people, the two individuals need to be aligned in with God in order for it to be a successful marriage. Marriages, just because people get married, don't mean they're successful.
Okay, all right. Okay, next to godliness. Okay. Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're checking something out right now. Okay, so with that, that's an interesting point. We got a lot to cover tonight, you all. We're not going to be able to finish it. I can tell you all that now. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. Next Friday's topic is going to be, do we have to be aligned with God's will to be blessed? Do we have to be aligned with God's will to be blessed? So what about, you know, I mean, we're not going to discuss it tonight, but when you say that, is it a judgmental call to say that, oh, that person is not in line with God's will, and look how blessed they are? And I know we can come with scripture and say David saw, he saw the, you know, the wicked prospering and so forth and so on. And he said, never, I've been young and I've been old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. And then he says, he talks about he saw the end thereof of the wicked. So, I mean, there's so much to take in that we don't know what's what. And when we talk about marriage, for example, I believe, now this is just my personal opinion on it, I say it humbly and respectfully, the institution of marriage is of God, but not every marriage is of God. The institution of marriage is of God, but not every marriage is of God. And if you look at Hebrews and Greek, the word, the man who finds a good wife, the word wife means woman in Hebrew and Greek. All right, we're going to go on. All right, so you got some things. We talk about what people say to believe. Mrs. Lewis, I want to bring you in here, and this is not to criticize or judge anybody, you all. We're simply giving our opinions, and if I'm sounding a little passionate, I'm enjoying tonight's show and enjoying learning from all of you all. Mrs. Lewis, Is there a scripture that says cleanliness is next to godliness?
No, I've never read it. I've never read it, but it's...
heard that, right? You've heard that, right?
Yes. But
okay, because my grandmother used to say, listen, the Bible, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. So I thought that was in the Bible because she wanted me to always be clean. So I'm thinking, okay, if God said it, maybe that was just a lot, not just my grandmother, but a whole lot of people, you know, cleanliness. And then it's like, as I began to get older, my sister and I, we were like, you know what? I've never seen that in the Bible. You? No. You know, but then we didn't read the Bible. That I didn't. I can't blame my sister. I didn't. So
it's not there, but it's a true saying. It is true because
that is true. What makes it true? Cleanliness is next to godliness.
Because
how is that true, Miss Lewis?
Because if you are godly, you will be clean. You know, you'll have cleanliness. You will, you know, exercise cleanliness. You won't be, you know.
Okay, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at because we come up with everything. Now, what if I lived in a country that I can't bathe every day? Am I not clean? If I can't get to the water every day?
You don't have to be, you don't have to bathe every day to be clean.
Okay, so what do I need to do every day? Because you got some cultures, and I remember living in London where there were certain cultures that they didn't, the more, excuse my word, you all, the more musky they were, I was told this is a sign of masculinity. And I'm like, what could the women have been thinking about, you know, with these guys passing by?
I know.
Could it be the culture or where you live?
Well,
what is it, Miss Lewis?
Sometimes it's cultural because as a nurse, I've seen, you know, a lot of workers and patients, and even the geriatric patients, the elderly, we don't bathe them every day, but we do pericare on them every day, you know, because they're older, and so the skin does not have a lot of oily, you know, thing on them anymore because their glands are not oily anymore, and so we don't bathe them every day to wash off all the oil, but we give them pericare, you know, clean up the face on the neck, on the arms, and the peri area to make sure they smell good. They smell good, yeah.
Okay, so it's about smelling good to indicate that that's an indicator that we're clean because we smell. So if I'm musky, I can just spray on some cologne, and is that cleanliness? When my mother wanted me to always take a bath, you know, I didn't like to always take a bath. And so it's like I just go and, you know, throw some water up under my arms and go to bed. And she come out there, did you take a bath? And for some reason, I couldn't lie to her. I could not. I don't know why, because she instilled so much in me that it was hard to lie. So I just kind of skated around the truth. Well, Mom, I'm, you know. Until she just knew. She just knew. You can't fool mothers. But anyway, let me go on. I want to bring in, Miss Joyce. I want to bring in, thank you for your patience, Miss Joyce. So now, Miss Joyce, here we are. We're back to blessings being delayed. What about people, Miss Joyce, who don't even go to church? And you never, I mean, say coworkers, they never even talk about God. Child, I'm going out this weekend, and I'm going to have me some drinks until I get drunk. And I'm not saying that drinking is a sin, you all. I mean, you know, I'm not judging anybody for what they do. But then they're like, girl, and then I'm going to get up, you know, it's a weekend, Saturday morning, I'm going to go out and party. And then Sunday I'm going to a party again. And girl, and then my birthday coming up next month, I'm celebrating the whole month for my birthday. So, but these people are so blessed in our sight.
Well, first thing you have to know about these particular people are if they are saved people. I mean, you can be saved and you still are under God's grace, even if you do something that is wrong, because once saved, always saved. So God does not take back the salvation because you do something wrong. you've done something wrong and you should repent for it. But because, you know, if the person is a person that has accepted Christ and they go out and they do a little backsliding or whatever, it doesn't mean that they are no longer saved by grace, by the grace of God. They just
backslide. Wow, Ms. Joyce. That is deep, because that's one of our shows coming up also. It's once saved, always saved. So if that's the case, let's just say, for example, now, Ms. Joyce, I'm just simply asking the question. So if a man has a wife and he desires to have like three or four wives, and we know that that's polygamy, and he can't, I mean, he can go to jail for that. But if he chooses to just call them his wives, like in law they call putative spouse or common law wife, but he doesn't get a license, then, you know, and he's saved. Is he once saved, always saved? As long as the other ladies who put themselves out to be considered wives accept each other, is he wrong, or are we judging him? What are we doing?
He's wrong in the eyes of the law. He's wrong in the eyes of the law.
And man's law?
What did God in man's law? What did the...
Okay, but he didn't get married to them. A license, so it's not polygamy, because there's no license. He has one wife that he got a license with, but the others, these are like probably his mistresses, but they call them, they all live in a commune, and so they call themselves his wife. There's no license, so he's not breaking the law.
Well, he is.
I mean, because was Hugh Hefner breaking the law? That was the guy with Playboy.
And you know, he's a fornicator, and he will have to answer to all of his wrongdoings, but not to man. He'll answer to God. But what did Jesus say to the thief on the cross?
When he told him that, today you shall be with me in paradise?
Yes.
When he said, forgive me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So then, if that's the case, what about, you know, the lineage of Solomon, or the foreparents of Solomon? We had Jesse, who was David's father, and then we had David, who was Solomon's father, and David had more than one wife, and then Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. So, but yet God said that David is a man after my own heart, and yet his son Solomon kind of followed up in seemingly his footsteps. So, Ms. Joyce, was he wrong? He was the wisest man that ever lived.
He broke the man's law, but he was saved by God's. He accepted Christ as his savior. I'm saying that he broke the law of the land. And at that time, maybe it wasn't the law of the land.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. You listen to your one-hour inspirational program. Tonight's topic, and we're almost out of time. Tonight's topic is, could my blessings be delayed because of something that I may be doing wrong? Let me go in and bring in, let's go back to Go Girl. Go Girl, I want to bring you in here. Because here's another scenario. We've got these scenarios that I really want to get to. And this person says, my parents divorced because of my dad cheating. I prayed that they would get back together, but my mom did not want him back, even though he wanted to be forgiven and come back. I'm 23 years old and still miss the relationship that my dad and I could have had. What did I do wrong? That's what she wants to know. Go, girl. It's not her fault.
Yeah, it's not her fault. However, as children, as young adults, as humans, we sometimes internalize what others do when the rejection should not be anything but a lesson for us to learn. I understand so many young people working with them having, you know, a lot of self-doubt, wondering why would this happen to me, Why would God allow this to, you know, my family to part way like this? And I believe that in every, even a situation that's hard to deal with, there's always a lesson. The lesson is like your trial, and you need to come out resilient to the fact that I went through this, and God still allowed me to have parents, even though they weren't together. I'm still a whole person. That's kind of hard, even in this day and time. It's even worse that individuals take the decisions of other people and they take it on for themselves. And when y'all were talking about what you were saying, something about the
one save, always save.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that. I was going to say, by cleanliness, the concept of that is symbolic. It's just like us washing our feet. It's just like us being baptized. It's a symbol of cleansing. So when our parents used it, I believe they used it with the tone of you're better. You are clean. And so whatever God has, it's clean. And so that's how you become next to God. At least
okay.
That's the way they use it.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome back on the show tonight. Welcome back, Ms. Camilla Cross. Ms. Cross, nice to have you with us. Good evening.
Oh, my gosh. Hello, everyone. Good evening. I know it's later on in the show. I've been a little busy, but I chimed in maybe the last 30 minutes of the show. This is a phenomenal show. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. Hope everyone's been good out there.
Yeah, well, thank you, Ms. Cross. And Ms. Cross, while I've got you here, and thank you for stopping by, it's always an honor and pleasure to have you. Give us your opinion on could a person's blessings be delayed because it's something that they're feeling that they are doing wrong? And I want you to tie that in with how guilt, you know, I know you're a social worker, and tie that in with guilt, how guilt can make you think that you're doing anything wrong and could destroy you. And then, Audrey, I want to bring you in later and talk about laws of attraction. Yeah, laws of attraction. Go ahead, Ms. Cross. We're almost out of time.
Yeah, I definitely believe that that is possible because, you know, I have this understanding, right, that our lives are already written. And at the end of the day, you know, we are just kind of going through the motions of this book that's already written. What happens is because of the desires of man, because of the things that we want, it will interfere sometimes for the things that God already has planned for us. So there's, you know, we call it intuition, we call it the unconscious, all of this other stuff, right? The Holy Spirit, however you want to determine it, that inner voice that sometimes tells us no, that we don't want to listen to because we want it to be yes. So we head towards, and, you know, I'm talking about my own stubbornness at times, and we decide to do what we want to do, right? And what happens is that might not be aligned with the purpose that we're supposed to be walking in. And I believe that at times because we go and we choose left instead of right, right, even though I think it's rewards and consequences in either decision, you know, it can possibly delay our path, right, because we're not truly obedient to the walk that we're supposed to be in. I don't think that it gets removed, but I think it will cause a delay. You know, thank God, you know, he's patient. He gives us grace so that pause happens. But I do believe that it can definitely cause a blockage, right, a temporary blockage, because we may not be ready for it, right? So sometimes that happens. Where we're supposed to, you know, it's just very funny how life is. Sometimes we're supposed to go right instead of left because we're supposed to learn that lesson going left so that we can be prepared for the ultimate goal, right? So it's very powerful. I always have this thing where I'm like, there's always a lesson in the loss. There's going to be a lesson in the loss. It's just that I feel like we have to learn the lesson.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Audrey, I want to bring you in here, and we talk about the laws of attraction because, you know, before you get to that, I want to take a look here at, you know, how our brains can be conditioned, even to the point of being brainwashed unaware. You know, because when we, for example, just before you come on, Audrey, I want to go to Ms. Lewis and ask Ms. Lewis. Ms. Lewis.
Yes.
When, does yes. God give us free will? Is that what the Bible says?
Yes, he does.
Okay,
and
so it says free will, or does it say free choice? And are they synonymous? Or does
yes,
it say free choice?
Free will, free choice. We are free to choose whoever God
okay,
says.
Okay, but does it say free will? Does it say that God has given us free will, or does it say God has given us free choice?
Free will.
Does
free
the Bible
will.
Say, which one of these does it say?
Free will.
Or did we take the word free choice and make it synonymous with free will because that may have sounded better? Because we can connotate or associate the word will with choice. So we came out with our own language. Which one is it? Or do you know, Miss? You want to research that and get back with us?
I can. But at the same time, I think that it's the same thing, the same connotation, will and choice. It's my will, to, you know, because God wants us to abide by his will, and he
okay.
wants our will to be his will. So I think it's not think, it is will, but people say choice. And but God wants us to make the choice that he
okay.
would want. He wants us to have his will dwelling.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Audrey, we want to bring you in on laws of attraction. As a man thinketh, so is he. So if I'm thinking guilty, couldn't I be delaying my own blessings because somebody somewhere, whether it was the church or somewhere on the job, somebody told me something that I believe. Belief systems are powerful. Free will or free choice, however you look at it, synonymously or however you look at it, is a powerful thing. Because one man over here might be saying that he's praying for his wife to come back, and that wife has free choice, free will, and says, I don't want to go back to him. I don't want to go back to him. And I have my free choice, I have my free will to decide. And he's praying for 18 years, and she doesn't come back. And then he's praying, like we said on the show the other night, when this woman was praying for her to come back. He came back, but he was sickly. Well, to take care of him. Well, Audrey, you said, you know, sometimes God will give you what you pray for, and it may not be what you really thought it to be.
Yes.
Audrey, laws of attraction, your thoughts on that?
Yes, you're absolutely right. The mind is very powerful, and that's why I use the word faith. You know, the church calls it faith, and it is faith. But where does faith occur? It occurs cognitively in your mind. And so when you really believe something, you can believe it in the being. And some people say, no, but yeah, it is. It's the same thing we talk about when we talk about faith. Like, I believe that I was going to be able, as a divorced single mom of two children, go back to school in the 90s and get my master's, regardless of the fact that I was working full-time and didn't have any money. So I've now had it for 20 years. So, yes. The belief is powerful.
All right. We're certainly going to ask you to stand by. We're almost out of time, you all. Wow, we really are just about out of time. Pastor Rowe, I want to bring you in here quickly. I want to Pastor Rowe, and then we're going to give Audrey an opportunity to close us out tonight. Audrey, if you don't mind closing us out on the topic, could my blessing be delayed because I may be doing something wrong? We'll come to you in about 30 seconds. Pastor Roll, I just want to bring you in here quickly right now and ask, do you see this from a different perspective now that we may be saying our own blessings because of the way that we think?
Well, that is very true, Dr. Walker, and I know we got time restraints, but make sure we mention about this class we're supposed to be having with the creating your own portfolio. That's coming up very soon before we have the next meeting. But I just want to say it's how we think, you know. The way that I think is, you know, I understand free will, and, you know, Scripture talks about free will offerings. But I just want to say it's how we think. You know, Scripture tells us, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. you know. So we are merciful, you know, considering these orphans and children and things like that. We're going to get, God is going to be merciful to us, whether we want a good husband, a good wife, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when all is said and done, it's all about being merciful, supporting the vision that you have, Dr. Walker, is helping these orphan children in the different geographical locales that we have. That is the focus. That is the focus. And when we do what we should do and become a sponsor and help you to help the people in the different geographical locales, God will give us what we desire and what we want.
All right. Thank you for that. Now we're going to have Audrey close us out with, could my blessings be delayed because of something I may be doing wrong? I say, okay, Audrey, close us out, please.
And while the mind is so powerful, yes, your blessing, you can stand in your own way. You can delay your blessing. And the way you do that is by not believing, by thinking, I'm not going to get that job. I'll never have that. And you're absolutely right. So in that sense, or feeling so guilty and so unworthy that you don't believe God is able to bless you in spite of.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. We want to thank all of you all for stopping by and taking part in tonight's program. Looks like the producers are letting me know that we'll probably have a part two on this very topic. And in the meantime, we've got some powerful topics coming up next Thursday night. It's going to be, can you really resist temptation? Can you really resist temptation? That's next Thursday. You don't want to miss that one. And then that's going to be followed by Friday night's topic. Do we have to be aligned with God's will to be blessed? These are two powerful shows that you will not want to miss. And then that Saturday morning, 6:30, 8:30, Sabbath morning, Shalom, we're going to have a powerful show. We're going to have another medical missionary that's going to be joining us. You don't want to miss that show either. So listen, until next Thursday or until next Friday, I want to thank all of you all. And there was one other thing, remember, and we're closing, there's nothing greater than love. And then a blessing delayed does not mean a blessing denied. Listen, I want to thank everybody once again, and I want to say to my listening audience around the world, and I want to thank God and by saying good night, everybody. Thank you, God, and blessings to all of you all. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night. Thank you.
Good and nice to hear you, Ms. Camila Cross. And also, great show, everyone. Good night to all the co-hosts and everyone. God bless you.
And good night to everyone, Dr. Walker. Great show. And good night, Sister Marjorie Cross and Camila.
Thank you. God bless you all. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you all for the great show.